EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
In the box.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am the infamous one, your friendly space pope, whatever you want to call me. Matt Jordan here with you. Always getting through here on EMZT Radio. Hey, you got a pretty good show today. I am a little on the ill side, so I'm doing the open, the close, and I'll be back a little bit later to talk to Timothy Troy. He has a new movie coming out called Abby, and we'll talk about that. Science fiction film, so I hope you enjoy it. Anyways, enjoy the music here on EMZT Radio, and yeah, hopefully we're both back together next week, but there we go.
Journey is
Hey everyone, this is Beaumont Bob from Bumming with Bobcat. You can listen to me live every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at sfdradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. Always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bum Wine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
We'll be right back. from the-line-up.com. 7 disturbing tales of people who met their doppelganger. Doppelgangers are not simply people who look like you. They are you in spiritual form and often portend your death. Let's dive into this creepy list of 7 people who basically saw their own ghost. Number 7, Abraham Lincoln. When Lincoln saw his doppelganger, it was the night of his first election, sitting on the couch and happened to glance into the mirror where he saw himself and a second face that was also his. The second Lincoln was pale and ghostly. It disappeared when the new president stood. His wife was hysterical, sure that it was bad news, a certain sign that Lincoln would not survive the presidency. Number 6, Catherine the Great. The powerful 18th-century Russian empress was not the type of woman to be fazed by seeing her own ghost sitting on her throne. In fact, when servants ran to wake her with the news that they'd just seen her enter the throne room and take a seat, she calmly investigated. Supposedly, she found the claims to be true. She saw herself with her own eyes, and coolly requested that her guards shoot the imposter. The history books don't tell what effects the bullets had on the spirit, but Catherine herself died mere weeks later. Number 5, George Tryon. June 22, 1893, Vice Admiral George Tryon gave a grave error while commanding 2 columns of ships off the coast of Syria. His lapse in judgment caused the death of 357 men, including himself. At the same time, the Vice Admiral appeared in full uniform at a dinner party his wife was hosting at their London home. He walked silently down the staircase and through the drawing room. He opened the door as if to leave and disappeared. Although this story is often repeated, it seems to trace back only to the 20th century. Contemporaneous accounts of the doppelganger have been impossible to confirm. Number 4. Percy Shelley. His name may not be the most familiar to you, but you definitely know his wife, renowned horror author Mary Shelley. Percy confessed to her that he had seen his own personage on more than one occasion and was particularly unsettled, as one would be, after one spoke to him asking, "How long do you mean to be content?" Lending further credence to the account, Percy's double was witnessed by Mary's close friend Jane Williams as it passed by her window while the man himself was asleep in bed. Percy drowned in a sailing accident not long after he told his wife about these disturbing experiences. Number 3. Sir Frederick Carney Rush. In 1906, Sir Frederick Carney Rush was ill in bed with the flu when fellow Parliament member Sir Gilbert Parker spotted him sitting nearby during a debate on the floor. Parker was surprised but greeted his co-worker and told him he hoped he was feeling better. He received no response, and when he looked again a moment later, Rush was gone. When told of the incident, Rush was initially amused, saying that he had very much wanted to attend the debate, so it made sense that he had subconsciously sent his spirit to do just that. He was less amused during the following months, during which his fellow Parliament members continually poked and prodded him to convince themselves that Rush was not a ghost. He laid the matter to rest with a sarcastic letter to the local newspaper, apologizing for not having the good sense to die at the time of the doppelganger sighting, and promising to behave better next time. Number 2. Emily Sagi. Emily Sagi was a teacher, and by all accounts a good one, which makes it hard to understand why she held 19 different positions over 16 years at first. In 1845, however, her newest employer quickly discovered why she could never stick around for long. Her students reported seeing a double of their teacher at the front of the room. The ghost-like creature mirrored Sagi's movements as she taught, walked, and even ate. You can imagine that it could be quite the distraction for many of the students, but oddly enough, Sagi herself never saw her own doppelganger. She did, however, report the spirit seemed to be doing things that she was thinking about in the moment it was sighted. When the doppelganger began to venture beyond the woman herself, her students grew more bold. They approached and even walked through the spirit, which they said was like attempting to penetrate thick fabric. Despite the woman's credentials, she was let go as the apparition became a more common and distracting sight about the school grounds. And number 1, Queen Elizabeth I. That this level-headed queen wasn't one to dabble with the paranormal only makes this claim more intriguing. According to many rumors at the time, in 1603, Queen Elizabeth saw herself lying motionless on her bed, almost like a corpse. She died soon after the experience. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
The show that puts the story back into history.
History is all about discovering the why. And I think that in that process, it's important to never take the story out of history.
Making history come alive, one episode at a time.
But this is a podcast on the American Revolution for this series and all about a free country, so do whatever the hell you want.
Visit themondayamerican.com to get more. Dive into the Monday American. Don't worry, we'll be gentle.
Thank you.
from 1428elm.com, like Jason, Freddy Krueger will be getting an underwater statue. The diver who installed an underwater Jason Voorhees statue in Minnesota says he will next work on an underwater statue for Freddy Krueger. Back in 2013, diver and artist Doug Klein planted a rather awesome Jason Voorhees statue under the water in a town in Minnesota. Just recently, it went viral after a friend of Klein's posted a video of the statue online. Since then, the story has spread throughout the internet like wildfire, and if you're a horror fan on the internet, you already know what I'm talking about. According to the Minnesota Monthly, Klein is back at it following the viral success of his Jason statue. A friend of his has asked him to do a Freddy Krueger statue at another site, and Klein is apparently on board. It seems he's more motivated to do projects like these after hearing about the interest from the horror community. Quote, "I just gotta do it. I'll make them a little less buoyant, though, so I don't have to fight like I did," end quote. Additionally, Klein plans to add Eddie, the Iron Maiden mascot, to the collection of underwater statues. That's certainly pretty cool for fans of Iron Maiden, but let's hope some other icons of the horror genre can join the club as well. To clarify some misconceptions about the story, the Jason statue isn't located at the bottom of a lake. He's at the bottom of a water-filled mine pit used by local diving schools. Unfortunately for recreational divers, it's only accessible by experienced pros because the water at this depth is so deep, dark, and cold. Given the fan interest, however, perhaps things will be different with Freddy Krueger. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Don't mess with me. I got the power of EMZT Radio and horror on my side.
Science fiction, action, and adventure?
Hours of console cleaning-based sexual innuendo?
The sound of the whole table yelling at one guy for rolling poorly?
inspirational anecdotes?
And have you ever fantasized about having your head being massaged by a psychic?
If so, follow the adventures of the crew of the Irritated Badger on the Chaotic Goodness podcast, coming every Monday on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere else you find your podcasts.
Space adulting's hard.
And we're back with Timothy Troy here talking about his new feature called Abby. Timothy, hello.
Short film, actually.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing good. Tell me a little bit about this, because I'm very interested in it. Sci-fi is another passion of mine, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a short film, actually. And it came about when my buddy Dan McGuire came to me with it about 6 years ago. He wrote the script, and he's like, what do you think of it? And I loved it at the time, but you know, we were pretty much fresh out of college and had no money and no way of making something that was quite as involved as this one is. There's a lot of production design to it. There's a lot of moving parts to it. It's a very big, ambitious film, even if it is a short. So we put it in a drawer for a while, and festivals up around the country picked up a couple of awards, and it kind of gave us the motivation to be like, all right, well, we should take a bigger swing, and Abby was just sitting right there.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I guess without getting too much into it, obviously we don't recommend telling spoilers, but I guess just tell everybody about the plot of this and what can we expect from this.
So the movie is about a scientist named Vincent Forrester, who has created a computer with a bunch of organic components to it. So it's sort of a hybrid organic / technological computer. It has developed a virus, and he and his assistants Abby and Julie are trying to clear the virus before it all goes down the tubes, before their funding runs out, and their careers are all ruined. The problem is that virus, being part organic, manages to jump into Abby, driving her insane, and she then tries to kill everybody.
Oh yeah. As they normally do, right?
As one does.
As one does, yes.
So there's a lot of cool scientific stuff going on in the background of the movie, and then there's a lot of blood and a lot of scary bits too. So it's very much a sci-fi horror movie.
Awesome. Well, since this is the first time you've been on this show, I guess tell everybody a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to our audience, I guess.
Sure. My name's Tim Troy. I'm a filmmaker based out of Chicago. I've been making movies, mostly horror movies, for the better part of a decade now, including everything that I did in school and beyond. That's actually where I met Dan, who wrote the short we're working on now. I work on film professionally. I'm a dolly grip for the NBC show Chicago PD. So I use that as a place to really learn and pick stuff up from people that are doing this, at a much higher level than I am right now, in terms of directing and acting and production design and cinematography. It's all people that do this at a very high level for a living, for a very professional production. And the education that you get from that is just, it's invaluable. And so I try and take what I learned there and apply it to the movies that I do for myself.
Cool. And so what got you interested in film and television work and that sort of thing?
I've loved movies since I can remember. There really isn't any one thing I can point to specifically and say, well, this is, the first time that I knew I wanted to make movies for a living. It's a gradual process as you get older and you are like, well, right, man, I really love movies. And then you get to a point where you realize, people do these things for a living. You can actually make money doing that. That can be your job. I think maybe the first time that dawned on me was watching behind the scenes movies of like Star Wars or Jurassic Park. You see all those technicians working with little models and building stuff. And I think if I had been more mechanically minded in the first place, I probably would have gone into special effects instead. But the idea of taking things apart and putting them back together was never something I really jumped into as a kid. But that said, it's something that I've always been fascinated with too. And I think that's probably what drew me to sci-fi and horror as something to actually work on.
Awesome. Did you have any specific films that were your go-tos growing up or anything?
Star Wars was definitely something that I watched, wore the tapes out of for anybody that remembers VHS. And Jurassic Park was another one. But I watched a lot of stuff as a kid. I watched a ton of Godzilla movies and Jaws, anything I could get my hands on, really. Spielberg was what my entire childhood was. As I was growing up, there was just nothing but Spielberg movies in the VCR all the time.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I've worn a few of those tapes out too, but I guess jumping back to this real quick, tell me little bit about the cast and what we can expect from everybody and all.
Okay.
That.
The cast is all local Chicago actors. They're all professional actors. We have Claire Cooney is starring as Abby. She's a very good filmmaker in her own right. She just released a movie called Runner, or a short called Runner, that's bounced around festivals. And I had the pleasure of seeing it at a festival not too long ago, and it's great. It's really cool to work with somebody who's also a filmmaker and has that innate sense of story as we're building, the character that she's playing. We have Ram Barkadar is starring as Vincent. He's fantastic to work with. He's a SAG actor. He really has zeroed in on the intricacies of Vincent, and it's a complex character to play because he's got to be both, a little bit imposing and imperial because he's the head of this project, and it's something that has been very near and dear to him for his entire life. But at the same time, he's got to have a lot of vulnerability because his whole world is crashing down around him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything he's worked for a decade or more is, the dream child that he's trying to create here. Everything he's devoted his life to is about to collapse in around him. And so that's all got to be an undercurrent of what's going on when all hell breaks loose and Abby goes nuts. And then Emily Berman is playing Julie. She's our third main character. And she's fantastic to work with too. You say that and everybody says that because that's just what you say about your cast, I suppose. But in this case, it's really true. And I've already actually had a chance to work with the actors doing the teaser video that I sent you guys.
Absolutely.
It was a really cool experience doing that video, especially with Emily, because we were going through and just doing line by line for some of it and watching her bounce through all of the different emotions that Julie's going to have to play in moments and the control that she has over, the shading of those emotions. It's really cool and gets me really excited to make this movie.
Well, I noticed going through your Indiegogo, obviously by the time, this comes out, it'll be, I guess the whole day will, the time limit will be over at that point. There, that's the word I'm looking for.
It's
English.
True.
English is fun. But you do have the flexible goal, so I take it people could still donate even after the time is up, correct?
I'm not sure how they can donate if the goal is up through Indiegogo, but you can certainly get a hold of me if you wanted to donate money to the project, and we're not going to turn anything down, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that my contact information is available to you guys, and you can spread that around. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/crazylittlemonster. You can find it on, you can find us on there. That's our production company. Or you can find Abby Short Film, and it might be Short Film Abby on Facebook, but you can search for it and it'll come up. Get a hold of us through any of that, and we would be more than happy to figure out how to let people donate even after the fact.
Okay, and just to let people know, we will put links to those in the show notes, so you can go ahead and look on that and clink on that, I guess. Clink, click, whatever, however you want to say it. English has escaped me today for some weird reason.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I have the same problem all the time. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. But how much of this has already been funded as far as, like, off Indiegogo? Like, is this through your personal funds and even, like, investors or something?
So I get you. We have some of our own money that we were putting into it from the beginning. And then we've more or less doubled that through Indiegogo. And then, you know, whatever we come up with, whatever the shortfall is with that, we're still figuring ways to try and find some other investors or reaching out to people like you in the press to try and spread word even after the campaign. And like you said, you know, if people want to donate after that campaign, there's always a way. So we can certainly do that.
Awesome.
We think the budget, we have enough now to do the movie as we hope to. We just may have to, you know, find some creative ways to do it, which is, that's indie filmmaking, right?
Right.
That's how it always goes.
Yeah, small micro budget films. Yes, obviously you gotta be very creative, which it works in a lot of cases.
You know, I've always said that maybe the worst thing you can do for a filmmaker is give them the world and, you know, keys to everything, because then it doesn't force you to do anything.
Right.
You know, it doesn't force you to solve problems, and creativity is born of solving those problems. You know, you look at a $300 million movie and they're like, okay, that's neat. There's some stuff that's cool, but it doesn't have quite that same spark sometimes.
Oh, no.
And I think that might be part of it.
I totally agree with you on this, but on this film, was it inspired by anything? Because it has a almost, I want to say, Resident Evil feel to it a little bit, but...
You know, Dan has stories about how he was watching a children's cartoon, I think it was Sequest or something, and it, you know, you're just sitting there daydreaming as you're watching it, and his mind kind of wandered off to a computer that would that could infect human beings, and you know, right away, that's a pretty neat spark for a film, and so it developed into this. I don't know that he had any particular influences when he first wrote it. The influences for us are, you know, it's stuff like Terminator and Jurassic Park, to throw that out again. It's, you know, science gone haywire, and there's a million movies on that basis, but I think this one has a different spin that people haven't quite seen before.
Awesome. Well, and then on that note, I guess just tell everybody where they can find everything and just, you know, the usual stuff.
Sure.
You know, promote yourself for crying out loud.
Yeah. So you can find me personally on Facebook very easily. It's just Timothy Troy. You search for Timothy Troy on Facebook and I come up. You can get a hold of me personally if you want to at chicagotimtroy@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then you can also find our production company, Crazy Little Monster, on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
You can see our past movies there and some of the teasers and promo stuff that we've been doing for this short. And then you can find Crazy Little Monster and Abby on Facebook as well.
Okay.
Facebook.com/crazylittlemonster.
Uh-huh.
And facebook.com/shortfilmabby.
All right. Well, Timothy, we appreciate you coming on.
I was happy to be here. Thanks a lot, man.
irreverent, obnoxious, and very hateful. If you like your horror movie reviews full of snark and humor, then you'll want to watch me, Andy, the Bohemian Celt, on From Zen to Zombies, exclusively on YouTube.
Coffins don't need pillows, I heard my father say, because everything is comfortable when you have passed away. Worms that don't get shovels, so long as they have fits, so listen to the shovel, these are problems of the dead. Tick-tock, tick-tock, when your time is up, the only fine is one is why the major fills your cup. And the nightmares that used to haunt you now are child's play, so it's easy bitching now, or just as new and easy day. Ghosts don't need a place to haunt, they heard my father say, because existence can be so boring when you passed away. Now your loved ones hang dolls from underneath their beds, and then they'll say that the real these are problems of the dead. Tick-tock, tick-tock, when your time is up, you'll be fine as long as my donations still can come. And the nightmares that used to haunt you now are child's play, so cease the witching now, or just as new and cease the day. Zombies only flesh do not my hurt grandfather say, because normal food it tastes disgusting when you pass away. Make sure that you're not a soldier after he's been wed, and then his wife is taking care of Robert of the dead. Tick-tock, tick-tock, when your time is up, you'll be fine as long as my ages will set up. And the nightmares that used to haunt you now are child's play, so see the witching hour just as you would see the day. Tick-tock, tick-tock, when your time is up, you'll be fine as long as my ages will set up. And the nightmares that used to haunt you now are child's play, so see the witching hour just as you would see the day. See the witching hour just as you would see the day.
From 1428elm.com, Chopping Mall Remake Ditches Killer Robots for Possessed Mannequins. What? Now this is one I think they should fucking leave alone. Chopping Mall with the Killer Robots. And it had Barbara Crampton in it. Killer combination. This... I was hoping they would just leave this alone, but they seem to have found it and want to fuck with it, so... Let's see what they say. Chopping Mall has a planned remake in the works from director Robert Hall, but the killers in this version will be mannequins possessed by ghosts. Looks like there won't be very much to recognize in the remake of Chopping Mall. There's a reason this 1986 horror film from director Jim Wynorski remains a cult classic to this day. Yeah, it's fucking awesome! It creates a simple but fun plot about a group of teens sneaking into a shopping mall after closing to spend the night inside. Unfortunately, it's the same night the mall security robots go haywire, leading to them killing everyone in sight. The film is campy as hell, but that's really just part of Chopping Mall's charm. Recently, filmmaker Robert Hall appeared on a live stream for Nightmare Toys. The laid-to-rest director is planning to remake the classic film, though his vision is very different from that of Wynorski's. On the stream, Hall reveals that his idea will nix the science for the supernatural, replacing the killer robots with evil mannequins. Quote, instead of killer robots, They are these mannequins that are possessed by the souls of dead slaves that worked at the plantation that the mall was built over, end quote. Okay, right. He did, Robert Hall did Laid to Rest. All right, that was an awesome flick. But, please don't do this. This reminds me of the Dawn of the Dead remake that came out in 2004. Though it's technically considered a remake of the George Romero classic, it has very little to do with its source material, other than its shopping mall setting. As in that case, this appears to be a shopping mall remake in name only. That being said, a movie about mannequins possessed by vengeful spirits does sound pretty amusing. Okay, so a movie that basically has life-size possessed dolls in it? That might be worth a curious peek. But name it something else! Not Chopping Mall. Don't take it away. It's not Chopping Mall. Aww. But the director of Laid to Rest, I'm sorry, I did love that film. So, it could be good. I don't know, but I already hate the word remake, Chopping Mall. So I guess we're just going to have to see how this goes. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
Fans, my name's Douglas McCambridge, and along with my co-host Jamie Lorello, we run a podcast called Good Times, Great Movies, where we review movies from the craziest decade, the 1980s. In October, we do horror movies and horror movies alone, so we're reaching out to you, the listener slash horror fan, to recommend movies you want to hear us talk about. Tweet to us at GTGMcast. Find us on Facebook, listen to the podcast, Good Times, Great Movies. Let us know what horror movies from that decade you want us to talk about. If we choose yours, you win a prize. It'll be something awesome. Blu-rays. That's what I'm going to say. All right, hope to hear from you.
American, no tricks at the wheel. No one needs anyone, they don't even just pretend.
From 1428elm.com, Cure your St. Paddy's Day hangover with Leprechaun Returns teaser.
What?
Fans of the Leprechaun franchise will be happy to learn that next year the Leprechaun returns, ready to ride the scary rainbow again. On St. Patrick's Day, Sci-Fi surprised fans with a teaser trailer for Leprechaun Returns. With this film, the franchise will go back to the maniacal, rhyming creature fans love. I must be in the minority of fans who didn't mind the Leprechaun in Leprechaun Origins being a speechless monster, but I digress. Leprechaun Origins was nothing about Warwick Davis' character. It was like the original story of leprechauns. And it was this hideous creature. It was freaking scary. It was another don't go in the cursed part of Ireland thing. So that was a good movie. However, fans aren't happy Warwick Davis isn't returning. Someone from the original film is returning. No, not Jennifer Aniston. No, Mark Holton reprises his role as Ozzy. While Lyndon Porco, last season of Sci-Fi's Channel Zero, takes over for the title character. Not much is known about Leprechaun Returns other than a handful of cast members, and it's a direct sequel to the original film. Okay, glad it's not a remake. It's a sequel. That's awesome. A sorority unwittingly unleashes the gold-obsessed imp when they tear down a cabin to build a new sorority house. Taylor Spritler plays Lila, Pepe Sanuga plays Katie, and Cy Bennett plays Rose. Leprechaun Returns is directed by Stephen Kostansky and written by Suzanne Kiley. The film debuts on Sci-Fi sometime in March 2019. And it probably will be during a St. Patrick's Day marathon of the original Leprechaun franchise, with Leprechaun Returns in the prime time slot. With the film being a Sci-Fi exclusive, rest assured there won't be any gratuitous nudity like most sorority-based horror films known for. Yeah. Sorry. No boobies. So this will be interesting without Warwick Davis. It's probably going to have an uprising like Doug Bradley from Hellraiser, who stopped being in the Hellraiser sequels. But. A new director and maybe a little bit different story. It could be okay. Still, something that might be worth a peek. I guess I'm a little more forgiving sometimes with these sequels and remakes. I'm a little more forgiving. If it's a sequel that stays true to the storyline, and a lot of the times they do, but sometimes they don't. But still, you can't judge the movie until you watch it, so I might give it a try. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
Is that me gold?
What the hell are you?
I'm a leprechaun, me dear.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV.
Ben!
The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio Podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT.
So that's going to do it for another episode of EMZT Radio. Of course, I am your friendly neighborhood space pope. Other than that, that's going to do it. Again, I want to apologize to everybody. I have a cold, as you could tell during the interview. I can't do a lot of talking through my nose.
So, yeah, we'll be back next week. As per usual, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, anything else you can find us on, Discord, of course. We're going to try to start some movie nights soon, if we can get more people in the Discord, active people in the Discord. Anyways, for Bane, I am the infamous one. I am the infamous MJ. I am your friendly neighborhood space pope, and I am out of here. We'll see you next week.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Red rum, red.